Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Summer stage at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center kicks off this weekend with an unusual theatrical dance event from Portico Dance Theater. Paiachi Project is the name of the story. It takes the story of the Leoncavallo opera and sets it in a contemporary circus where both the onstage and offstage action meet. The story of love, jealousy, and deceit is transferred into a show within a show design. Dancers tell the story of the lover's triangle, while aerialists utilizing aerial silks, trapeze, and a lyra perform overhead. As Canio finds out about his wife's deception with murderous intentions, the circus performer's mantra, "The show must go on," informs the performance in their on- and offstage performances. Paiachi Project takes place Friday and Saturday evening at 8 o'clock with a pre-show beginning at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center's Dungeness Theater. It's part of the first weekend of the PAC Trust Summer Stage Series. My guest today is Jennifer Alden, the Artistic Director for Portico Dance Theater, who along with Maria Tate Reed are co-directors of the production. She joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Jennifer Alden, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You'll be opening a summer stage this weekend with a new piece based on the Leoncavallo opera, Paiachi. It's called Paiachi Project. How did this piece come together?
Well, I have a great group of talented dancers, and they're always coming to me with ideas. And one of my aerial directors came to me with this idea, one of many ideas she's had, Maria Tate Reed. And she wanted to do a show around the opera and combine circus, opera, dance. And when she came to me with this idea, I thought, this is something that not only I would love as a theater lover, but I think a lot of people would really love and enjoy. So I said, let's do it.
So how did you flesh this out? I mean, you go back to the Leoncavallo opera to get the story, and this is a story dance anyway.
It is. It's based on the story. We did go back to it, and we called it the project because it's not exactly, it doesn't, you know, go along exactly with the story. We always put our little twists in it. We're Portico, so that's what we do. But we did go back to the opera, and we wanted to follow it enough so that it made sense, and it kind of went along with the story, but we wanted to put a few things in there that would change it so that it made it more relevant for us.
Now, do you use the Leoncavallo music?
We do. Uh-huh. We do, of course. You have to.
Right.
There's some beautiful, the main beautiful aria in that.
Vestila Juba.
Yes,
is,
of course.
The great denouement of the piece. Yes.
Exactly. So we had to, of course, include that. And that's actually part of our finale.
But most people only know that opera, unless you've gone to see Paiachi.
Right.
That's all you know from the opera, and it's a beautiful score, beautiful,
yes.
Late romantic score.
Oh, it's gorgeous, and yes, and a lot of times people don't know the story and what, you know, goes on, and of course we've twisted it a little, but hopefully you've got the basics there in our story.
And given what Portico does, which a lot of times you're using aerial work and things like that, this story adapts perfectly because, you know, while you aren't circus performers, you're doing a lot of things that in the air that circus performers do.
Oh, yes. And that's why, yes, it works perfectly. We've got lyra and trapeze and silks. And the opera is, it's a play within a play. We made it a circus within a dance show. So,
and of course, it is set as a... I'm not sure if it's actually a circus or...
It's more of a play, I think,
yeah,
rather
I think it's
than
more,
a circus.
But with a clown.
A clown, right, mm-hmm. as the main character.
Yeah, so. It's more like a theatrical troupe.
Exactly.
But changing that to a circus, and you move it to the present day, right?
Exactly, yes.
All right, so tell us a little bit about how you put this piece together. How did the planning begin on this?
We wanted to focus on a few themes. I think Maria really wanted to focus on that all the world's a stage... and wanted to focus on the fact that, you know, life kind of goes on, you know, and, you know, you have to go about your daily lives, even if you're sad or happy or whatever it be. You know, there's a lot of different emotions in this opera, and we wanted to kind of get all of that out, all of those different emotions, show you can be happy and sad and angry and have rage and jealousy and all those different things that come out. And really show that.
And I guess the idea is that you sort of have a mask on to mask most of these things most of the time.
Exactly.
Except in the course of Paiachi, at some point that mask slips off.
Exactly. And we wanted to show that dynamic of how that works and how that plays out on stage. So we have kind of an audience group that plays the audience and how that interacts. And then we have the circus performer group and how they interact together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to put that mask on in certain times of your life.
Is there a dance action going on while, like, there's a circus overhead?
Yeah, in some cases, yes, there's dance going on while the circus is going on.
So the dance is telling the story, while meanwhile the circus is going on overhead.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds like it's sort of a traffic cop and directing.
That's why Maria and I have co-directed this, because we've kind of had to, you know, split our minds, split the piece up in, you know, we have dance going on and circus going on at the same time. So we in some cases had to split rehearsals up so that we could do both at the same time. Yeah.
So for those who are not familiar with the story of Paiacci, it's a classic story of the jilted husband, then the jealous and revenge and killing, you know, the typical Italian opera story.
Right.
But tell us the story of Paiacci.
In our story, it's very similar to that. You have a man and a woman married, and they're part of this circus group. They come to town and do this circus performance. You have a super fan, is what we call this person. Originally in the story, it was Tonio, mm-hmm. But it's a woman playing this character, so it's Tania. And, you know, she, you know, wants to be part of the circus, and so she kind of helps the story along in showing Pagliacci, you know, what his wife may potentially be doing, being unfaithful. And then, of course, jealousy, rage, madness happens. And in the end, of course, there's a death.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the circus things you're going to be doing. You said the lira. Now, what is a lira for people who don't know what that is?
A lira is suspended in the air. It's a hoop. It's like a large hoop. A normal size is for one person. We've actually constructed this hoop. We had it made especially for us. And it's able to hold three people. So we have three people in our lira.
Mm-hmm. And so is it acrobatics that you're doing?
It is. It's a lot of acrobatics, a lot of somewhat contortion movement that the dancers have to be very strong. These dancers have been working for the last 3 years to, you know, build up their strength in order to do this, you know, on top of this apparatus in the air, suspended for, you know, more than 5 minutes. So if you just think about that and how hard that is.
So they on the inside of the hoop or using the hoop as sort of like a swing of some sort?
They're inside, outside, kind of climbing around it, doing different poses.
So you're actually holding on with your hands outside of the hoop. That sounds incredible strength.
Yes, you are. Yes, it's very hard.
And I know you're also using silks. Again, the same sort of muscle groups where you're basically holding on to these fabrics and doing acrobatics with that.
Exactly.
Too.
And the most I think we've had two silks in pieces before, and this is the most we've had on stage at one time. We have actually five silks on stage at one time. So we actually have enough dancers, enough aerialists in order to do this work, which is, I think this is the first time we've had enough aerialists strong enough in order to do this work. So this is a perfect time for us.
Yeah. I assume when you walk into this theater, it's going to look sort of like it's going to look like a circus ring.
It is. And it was very important to Maria, I know, to make sure that it stayed true to this circus theme, this circus look. So she really wanted the pre-show, if you want to call that, for when people walk in, that it feel like a circus. She really wanted that. So we tried, you know, as much as possible when you walk into a theater to make it feel like a circus, you know, balloon animals and face painting, just, you know, a fun atmosphere for kids and adults to get themselves, you know, kind of already entrenched in this feeling.
Now, in the pre-show, most of the time in a circus, it's clowns. Is it that same sort of feeling?
It is that same sort of feeling, yes. And we don't have clowns per se, but we have actors playing their roles as part of that.
Now, with all this stuff going on overhead, how do you make sure that the story comes out? I assume that's the real challenge of directing this.
It is the challenge. It's the biggest challenge. And we took a lot of time before we started this production. You know, really a year ago, we started thinking about it and making sure that the story was told while we're having all these other things going on, and that it all made sense and it was very linear, and that I and, you know, others could tell what was going on and how the story was progressing.
And so how do you do it? You know, I know in traditional dance, it's pantomime an awful
right.
lot. Are you using pantomime?
We are. We are uh-huh. using pantomime, a lot of acting. You know, uh-huh. all dancers have to act. So a lot of acting. And then and hopefully the dancing gets you there as well in the movement.
Now, when we think of contemporary dance, we don't often think of story dances
right.
as a part of the repertoire. We think of it as being more abstract, pure dance. This is a very much something you would, I mean, I don't think you expect to see in a ballet company, but it's more of a traditional story dance.
It which, is, definitely.
Why that attraction for Portico?
For me, it kind of goes back to our roots. I was trained in classical ballet, mm-hmm. so I'm used to those Swan Lakes and Sleeping Beauties, and I loved the story ballets. And our first, very first piece that Portico did was Project Alice, which was a linear story ballet that went through Alice in Wonderland. And so we kind of wanted to bring it back to that. And, you know, we're great at telling stories. That's what we love to do. And so let's get back to that and show this different side of ourselves.
Now, is the dance pretty much contemporary? Is it sort of what we'd expect to see at a modern dance event?
We actually have all sorts of dance this year. We have hip-hop, jazz, a lot of jazz, actually, in telling this story. A little
now,
how ballet.
How does that work with classical music?
We have different music incorporated,
okay.
so
right.
it's not just the traditional score. And we also have different choreographers. It's not just myself and Michael Lopez and Nina Mattson that did the choreography. We brought in some of our dancers did the choreography. So we have Chris Norrid doing choreography. Keith Prater did choreography. Alexander McDaniel did choreography.
And they each have their own specialty, right?
Yes. Jazz, hip-hop, tap. So, yeah, we have tap dancing, which is going to be stellar and everyone's going to really enjoy.
Now, so does it become almost like a review sort of situation or do you really try to incorporate this into the telling of the story?
It's definitely incorporated in the telling of the story.
So, for example, how would you use tap to what element of the story is it advancing?
So the great thing about this part of the story is Keith really wanted to do a group tap piece. And you don't find a lot of tap dancers in Tulsa. So a lot of times he had to teach them how to tap dance. But he's an excellent tap dancer. He's done it all his life. He's from L.A. And he wanted to do this group tap piece. And in the part of the story, it's we call it rage. And it's when he's getting upset because he's found out something about his wife. And so the tap in those stomps of the tap against the floor – that's kind of showing you how upset and mad he is. So that kind of propels the story and showing you kind of the anger.
And so when you're talking about a tap, you're not talking about a Broadway chorus line. You're talking more along the lines of Savvy and Glover or something
right,
like that.
Right, exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
You know, some very modern, or stomp maybe.
Yeah, his choreography is very modern tap, definitely.
Yeah. My guest today is Jennifer Alden, the Artistic Director for Portico Dance Theater. They're presenting a piece titled The Paiachi Project, Friday and Saturday night at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. It's part of the opening weekend of Summer Stage. What's it like when you're watching this show? I'm sure you guys have been rehearsing. Is your eye drawn to the story or above, or are you moving back and forth, or what exactly? Do you sort of have a time so when somebody's doing something particularly spectacular in the air, the story's sort of taking a breather, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's how we've tried to construct it so that there's not too much going on at the same time. There is, you know, a scene where everything is going a little bit crazy at the end, of course, kind of the climax of the story where there's a lot going on. But for the most part, I think you can follow the story. If there's something in the air, we tried to highlight that. You know, we didn't want a lot going on on the ground, maybe a few movements, but hopefully we've complemented it enough so that what's going on the ground is also going on, you know, in the air and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, this is obviously a big change from your previous project, which was, if I remember correctly, was Dancing in the Tunnels of Tulsa.
Yes. Yes, we did do that last year, and that was a modern dance that we did and very different from this project.
Yeah. Will we see elements of traditional ballet, since you have this sort of late romantic score that's at least a part of the piece?
Yes, there's always a little bit of ballet in there. I sneak it in wherever I can, so yes.
So how do you adapt like that classical score? That, you know, it's a late romantic score. Can you make it work with contemporary dance or hip-hop? Or obviously hip-hop you can't, but.
Yeah, that would be a challenge to do with hip-hop. And we haven't done it in that case, but maybe sometime in the future we'll try that. But yes, it's a lot of the dance is very lyrical or jazzy to go along with the music. And even contemporary movement works with that music as long as you breathe with the score.
Yeah. Now, a lot of the aerial acts, you know, you were talking about the upper body strength that you need. What are some of the techniques we'll be seeing in the show, like when you're working with silks or when you're working with a single trapeze? I assume that's the sort of a solitary trapeze. You're just sort of one trapeze as opposed to flying back and forth.
Right, exactly. It is a lot of upper body strength, but it's interesting how much they do have to use their legs in order to get into those different positions. You'll see quite a few drops, which are actually more at advanced technical level, which they're holding themselves in the air and then they'll let go. And they've twisted themselves enough in the apparatus in order to let go and basically look like they're falling and yet catch themselves before they hit the ground.
Right. It's basically knotting yourself in the fabric. So at some point that you're going to stop when you hit that knot point.
Yes.
So there's hope.
Yes. So there's usually a little breath and a gasp before they end.
Do you work in the air at all as far as aerials?
I've started when we started doing aerial, but since then I've taken more of a director. I'm stage managing this show as well. So when you're doing that, you have to really focus on directing and stage managing and can't do, you know, the dancing or the aerial work.
Well, you know, the thing with I know for the silks and probably for a number of other these apparatuses as well, what's going on backstage is more important. And are you guys in one of the small black box theaters?
We are. We're at the Liddy Dundas
now,
Theater.
Is all that going to be seen by folks, or do you have a sort of a curtain to hide the backstage side? Because, you know, the person operating the silks or the lira, I mean, they're just as important because they're basically making the people fly, basically.
Right. And lucky for us, the Tulsa PAC anchored some very specific anchors that we needed in order to safely put up our silks. So that technical part was done by them. They did it about 2 years ago as we requested if we could put some things in there so that we could do this kind of work in that theater. So luckily, there's not much that, you know, a backstage person needs to do, but we had all of that inspected and made sure that everything was safe and available for our dancers to be safe.
Yeah. Aren't you manipulating the silks up and down though during the show?
Not really.
They
climb up them, yeah. So they stay pretty stagnant.
Well, my guest today is Jennifer Alden, the artistic director for Portico Dance Theater. Portico Dance Theater presents the Paiachi Project Friday and Saturday at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center as part of the opening of Summer Stage as they adapt the Leoncavallo opera for modern, contemporary, every type of dance, as well as aerialist and circus performers. Now, do we have, like, I hate to say a circus community, but a aerial community? Because, you know, you see the trapezes. You know, they were out south for a while, and I think there, as part of the busker evening, there was some aerial work as well.
Yes, it's starting to be. I think we're the only company that actually does it as part of their work. It's always surprising, you know, the friends you find when you do something that you really love, and you kind of bring those people to you. We've met so many people that are interested in aerial and, you know, trapeze and silks. And so that's been something really fun to meet those people that also do what we do and love what we do.
Yeah, and there's one other thing that's mentioned, that you're going to be doing acro yoga.
Yes.
I had no idea what this is, and I just waited to spring this on you. What is acro yoga?
Basically, it's a type of yoga. Be Love Studio is working with us, and it's where it's kind of a little bit contortion, and It's uses two people, sometimes more. We're using two. And basically, they're working together. One person usually holds the other in the air, and they do different moves, transitioning from one move to the next in a very fluid and smooth way, all with one person in the air always at the same time. So
interesting.
It's a lot of – it's acrobatic, I would say, and a little bit of contortion.
So it kind of reminds me of Palabolas for some reason.
Yes, yes. It is a lot like that, yes.
Although Palabolas, you had eight people making elephants out of themselves.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, we're just two people, one person in the air and doing different movements. It's beautiful, beautiful work.
Yeah. Well, as you're putting the show together, I mean, obviously you're watching this. What should people look for as far as a special moment in this particular piece?
There's a lot of things that happen, but I know that this is the first time we've used a Spanish web. Our main character, who's also my co-director, Maria, who's been trained in aerial forever. And she actually brought it here with her from Chicago.
What is a Spanish web?
It's basically like a rope that she hangs onto, and it's spun. And so she's spun very quickly in a circle. And it's, you know, it's amazing to watch. And I think this is the first time definitely we've ever done it. And I don't know if anybody else in Tulsa has ever seen something like this, unless you've gone to a circus, you know, in a different part of the world.
I have seen this. Cirque du Symphony uses a piece like this. And it is utterly amazing. And it's like there's so much speed involved with it.
Yes, it's death-defying. It's amazing. And she's been working for the past year to do this piece.
Now, are there special safety concerns you have to do for a piece like this? Because, you know, usually when you're working in an aerial, there's somebody spotting somebody. You know, in a circus, there oftentimes will be a net.
Right.
Obviously, you're not putting a net in the theater. And it sounds like you're going to have dance and movement below this as it's going on. Are there any special safety concerns?
We do. Safety is of our utmost concern. And so we do everything to make sure all of our rigging is in compliance. We change out our rigging to make sure that, you know, we haven't had it more than a year. Mm-hmm. Our silks, which are very expensive pieces of apparatus, we make sure that, you know, those, there's no tears or rips. So we have to inspect everything before we put it up. So there's a lot of things that we have to go through for this show that are different than what we've had to go through in the past for just doing a dance show. And our, you know, of course, our technical director and production director are very knowledgeable about these pieces of equipment and make sure that everything's safe for the dancers.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's going to be a kind of a spectacular evening. Is this probably the biggest show you guys have done so far, you think?
I would say so. I think it's the most work I think we've ever done on a show, for sure.
All right. Well, you can see the results this Friday and Saturday night at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Summer stage opens at the PAC. With, among others, a Paiachi project from Portico Dance Theater. Jennifer, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Jennifer Alden is the artistic director for Portico Dance Theater, and she's co-director along with Maria Tate Reed for their latest production. Paiachi Project is a part of the opening weekend of the summer stage series at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. It takes place Friday and Saturday evening at the PAC. The show gets underway at 8 o'clock with a pre-show at 7:30. For more information, visit TulsaPAC.com. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Once again, we feature the comments of Dr. John Schumann.
I recently attended a conference where the keynote address was given by a well-known writer who also happens to be a doctor, Abraham Verghese. Verghese is the author of a memoir called My Own Country that I consider formative in my own medical career. It was about his life as a doctor specializing in infectious diseases in small-town Tennessee during the early days of the AIDS epidemic. After I read it, I was so inspired I wrote him a letter, and he was kind enough to reply. I still keep the letter. He wrote a second memoir about a troubled trainee called The Tennis Partner, which is a very powerful story of that trainee's addictions. For his third book, he crossed over into fiction with the best-selling novel Cutting for Stone. During his keynote, Verghese discussed mortality, reminding the audience that in spite of gains in longevity, the death rate for human beings still is 100%. Immortality, he argued, is overrated. He also distinguished between curing and healing, making the claim that we strive so hard for the former, we sometimes forget about the latter. If your home is robbed, he stated, your personal sense of security is assaulted. But if your possessions are returned, you're cured of the property crime, but you won't feel healed for some time. As another example, he discussed caring for those young men with AIDS for whom there was no treatment in the 1980s. Yet he attended to them on their deathbeds and provided solace as they reunited with their families. This bearing witness is a form of healing. He also read us a passage about the death of Anton Chekhov, the late 19th, early 20th century Russian doctor and writer of plays and short stories. Chekhov, stricken with tuberculosis, asked his wife Olga to take him to a Black Forest spa when he knew his death was imminent. There, she recalled in her own memoir, Anton sat up unusually straight and said loudly and clearly, although he knew almost no German, Ich sterbe, I'm dying. The doctor calmed him, took a syringe, gave him an injection of camphor, and ordered champagne. Anton took a full glass, examined it, smiled at me, and said, It's a long time since I drank champagne. He drained it and lay quietly on his left side, and I just had time to run to him and lean across the bed and call to him, but he had stopped breathing and was sleeping as peacefully as a child. Verghese encouraged us all to think about how we want to leave this earth and to tell our loved ones, lest we wind up in hospitals tethered to machines. I know I'd like to have champagne on my deathbed.
Dr. John Schumann is an internal medicine physician, the interim president of OU Tulsa, the substitute host on Studio Tulsa on Health, and a contributor of commentary to Studio Tulsa as well. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.